Good morning. Welcome to First Baptist Church. I'm so impressed and proud of you that you're here, and we even have a full choir up there. Wonderful. Yes, give yourselves a hand. It's a great place to be. We welcome all of you. We especially welcome those of you who might have journeyed out this morning to visit here for the first time or for the first time in a while. We especially welcome you and hope you find yourself at home among us. We also invite all of you at some point this morning to take a moment to fill out the connection card to help us connect with you and to connect you to opportunities in the life of our church. Speaking of which, you can read about a variety of opportunities in our bulletin insert. We would like to highlight a couple of those. As most of you know, we had church directory photos scheduled for the last 3 days, and our Thursday appointments got to have their pictures taken, and a few were scheduled for Friday or Saturday. Obviously, you did not. But never fear. We have been in the process of rescheduling. If you have not already rescheduled, you can find the sign-up sheet after worship and pick the perfect time for your household. And if it turns out that you were signed up for Friday or Saturday this week and cannot come at any of the makeup times, we will figure something out for you and your household. We want you in the directory. Lent begins later this week. On Wednesday, in fact, we will be gathering back in this space for our Ash Wednesday service. This is a brief, simple, somber service. It starts at 7 o'clock. It lasts about half an hour. We hope that you will consider making this part of your spiritual practice for this season. We will also, next Sunday, be beginning a new adult second hour opportunity for the season of Lent. It's called a clearing season, and you can read more about that in the bulletin and in the newsletter. And we hope that you'll consider, even if you don't usually stay after worship for our adult education, I think it's going to be well worth your time. You can read other announcements in your bulletin insert. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has arisen upon us. And so we worship.
Thank you. Please stand if you are able for the invocation. Please pray with me. Gracious and loving God, on this snowy winter morning, we gather to praise you and to hear your word. Unite us in worship as we seek to do your will in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Sun to its setting.
God is shining forth.
Our God comes and does not remain silent.
God calls to the heavens above and to the earth.
God will judge the people.
The heavens declare God's righteousness, for God alone is judge.
Thank you.
The epistle reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out darkness," who has shone in our own hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What can we do when somebody's knocking but respond? And that's what we do now with our prayers. Will you pray with me? Holy and loving God, whose ways are beyond our understanding, whose love is beyond all we can fathom, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose face has shown us your face, whose life has shown us your love, whose whole being has shown us the way of your grace. In him, we also see ourselves as you call us to be. We are here this morning because we are trying to trust that you will, in fact, transform us towards that. You will, in fact, transform us towards your dream for our lives. It is in that hope that we offer our prayers for your world. We pray for the sick, the abused, the enslaved, the imprisoned, the dying, and for all who mourn. We pray for those who give themselves to the work of comforting hurting people. We pray for those who give themselves to the work of action and advocacy for the most vulnerable, including for the good earth and all the creatures in it. We pray for all who seek to lead, including our politicians, but not only them. And we pray for your church everywhere, that your light would shine through us as a blessing for the whole world. We also pray specifically for those we love who are struggling right now, and we name them before you.
We pray for John Reed, for Stacy, for Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Peter Mortensen, Dottie Kassler, Robert L., Dana Rogers, Will Healy.
And also for Jim Terrace, Sandy DeLine, Nikki, Bree, Valerie Nebbia, Matt, Claudio Lima, Sunday M, Lorna Mark. Prayers for miracle healing. We also offer our private prayers to you now in silence. God of light, love, glory, and all goodness, reveal yourself to us today, that we might have a greater trust in your love, a greater connection to your presence, and a greater joy in living your way of grace. We ask all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ, who taught us how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you're able, will you please stand for the reading of the gospel? This is from the Gospel of Mark, and it is two stories bound together. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud came a voice, This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. The text then tells of Jesus and these three going down the mountain and what they saw when they arrived. They saw a crowd around them. And someone from the crowd said to him, Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so. When Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. The boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "This kind can come out only through prayer." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sing this song through the first time, and then we invite you to sing with us and join us when we sing the song through a second time.
My pleasure now to invite all the children to come forward.
Talk today. Let's read some of these conversation hearts for Valentine. Yowza. Love you. BFF. Who knows what that means? BFF.
Best friend forever.
Oh, yes. Dream date. Laugh. All kinds of fun things here. LOL. Hug me. So Valentine's Day is all about this love business. Love within our families. All kinds of love. I've been thinking about what it would be like if Jesus were to write on a conversation heart and give it to you. I imagine it might say, "Hug me." It might say, "Yowza." I think Jesus would say, "I'm your shepherd. I am your friend. I love you unconditionally, which means I love you no matter what. I think a conversation heart from Jesus might say, you matter. I forgive you. Go ahead, try again. All those things. And then, did you hear the song that the Grace Notes sang? They said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. So we get all that love from Jesus, and then our job is to do what? What's our job to do? Share it. To love it back right out to others. So I imagine you also giving hearts to people that say things like, I forgive you. I'm sorry. I love you. Hug me. I like you. All those things. We receive Jesus' love, and then we give that love back out. That is the work that we're about as followers of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Can you make your hands into a heart like Piper and Grady and Ivy did? Can you make it into a heart? Can you repeat after me? Dear God, we thank you for Jesus and the love we get through Jesus. Help us love well. Amen. You can come get a candy heart, 3rd through 6th.
Will you pray together? Wondrous God, now speak to us your living word, and may it come to fresh living in who we are, through Christ our Lord. Amen. To be honest, I never much cared for the story called the Transfiguration of Jesus. There are a lot of very strange stories in the Bible, but this one is just way, way out there. Three disciples see this brightly glowing Jesus, his clothes dazzling white, then Moses and Elijah showing up, both of them centuries dead, and now having a chat with Jesus, then a voice from a cloud, then all of it's gone. You see what I mean? Who can relate to that? I feel no connection. Until I notice that this, like so many other things, is all about context. Context in the book, that is, what comes before this story and leads up to it, and what then follows from it. I read it also in the ever-changing context of my life, our life. You take the story and let it live inside the larger situation in which it belongs, and it pulls up a chair and wants to tell us something. So let's listen again. It happens on a mountain, this vision of a shining Christ as witnessed by Peter, James, and John. The story says Jesus took them up there. "Walk with me up that mountain," he said, and he led the way. Nothing is reported of what any of them said to each other as they hiked up, but it's not hard to imagine what was on those three disciples' minds. For he had just told them that the worst of events was coming. That he was on his way to suffer unimaginable pain and to be put to a terrible death. He added that he would be raised from the dead, but who could hear that when the headline was this horror? Peter had cried, "That won't happen to you." Jesus had answered, "Yes, it will." And then he added, "And those who follow me will carry a cross of their own, for it is by way of losing your life that you find it." And that's when he says to the three, "Let's go up on a mountain." And as they made their climb, surely they were quiet, their minds stunned by the words about suffering, his and theirs. But when they reach the top, isn't it beautiful? They can see for miles. Fresh breeze on their faces, they stand there gazing at so much of their world. Then one of them turns to look at Jesus, who is sitting with his eyes closed in a state of meditation, contemplation, communion with God, prayer. And as they watch, a change comes over him, a strange brightness on his face. Every moment he is more radiant. His union with God is pouring out from every pore in his body. He's clothed in dazzling white. He is so beautiful. Then two other figures appear beside him. One is the great liberator of slaves and giver of the law, Moses. The other is a prophet who had confronted a cruel monarch and called a nation back to its true righteousness. Moses and Elijah. And it's scary and it's thrilling. And Peter says, "This, let's put a steeple over this. Let's put some structures for it. Make it permanent." Moses looks over at Jesus and says, "Who's the schmuck?" Jesus says, "That's my church for the present." But the disciples hear a different voice. It comes from a cloud that now begins to overshadow them. "This is my son, my beloved. Listen, listen to him." And now it's all back as it was before. Just the four of them up there now. The glow is gone from Jesus' olive brown face. And nothing about the world down below has changed. His hard words about imminent suffering and necessary loss, he has not withdrawn. And in fact, the voice they just heard says, listen to him. And now they must listen to him say, let's go down from this mountain. And Peter, who had pleaded to keep the good times rolling, has to go down with the others into the gloom to face whatever is waiting for them. And what's waiting for them looks very much like a nightmare. There's this crowd. And suddenly at the front of the crowd, a boy shrieking. He stiffens, then slams to the ground, his eyes rolled up, his mouth foaming. He convulses horribly, thrashes, tears open his flesh. We'd call it severest epileptic seizure, but all the people there take it for a demon. We learn that more than once the seizures have thrown the boy into the fire or thrown him into water. This is going to kill him. Some disciples of Jesus were already there, and the boy's father had begged them to do something, but they could only look on helplessly. In the gloom below the mountain, the seizures are endless. A father is weeping, and nobody can help. Now, suppose you were in both of those places that day. You were there in the beautiful radiance. It was real. The mystery of the divine presence, the luminous Christ, the glory of God shining from his face. You could see all the world by that light. But down here, among the convulsions and pleadings and helplessness, you want to say, well, if what happened up there has anything to do with what is real, how in God's name can the world be like this? Isn't it staggering how these two realities collide? Up on the mountain is mystery, beauty, glory, wonder, and intimate spiritual relational connection you long to keep. Down below, twisted faces, unanswerable pain that feels demonic. And the camera moves so swiftly from that brightness into that gloom, from the marvelous to the miserable, the terrifying. Two dimensions of experience. Two vantage points for considering what is real and what is not as real. It is worth asking today, which of those two dimensions seems more real to you these days? In the story, both dimensions are very real, and they collide with each other. And in that collision, Christ lives, and so do his children. Yet most of us feel ourselves more in one than in the other. All of this is to say that on the one hand, we must not avoid the reality below. And on other, we must not forget the reality that is brighter. We certainly cannot be avoidant of suffering because it is dreadfully real. We cannot close our eyes against the world's wretchedness or the fact that we have a part in it. So we open our wallets, we open our hearts, and we open our arms to the world's pain and all its need for mercy and for hope, and we take our place in it. Jesus did take his friends away from all the clamor and the hurt up to a high mountain to be apart from it, but only to lead them back down into darkness to face the pain and learn to be instruments of the healing of it. I would love to think that when we gather here to worship, it really is a mountaintop experience. And I know indeed that its outcome will always be to send us gratefully down to face all that is not well with good news and with healing. But if we're to be present to that reality, let us please come all the more alive to the reality, the dimension of glory. What Jesus showed them on the mountain, he would show us over and over again, that the one who would bear all the world's suffering and called us to follow is filled with the light and the life to overcome it, and that a human face filled with the love of God and love for the world can in the most surprising ways still shine with the glory of God, and that from it flows healing and hope. So Jesus went down the mountain to heal the boy. The disciples said, "Why couldn't we do that?" He said, "It happens only by prayer," which is to say, you've got to tend to the light. You cannot forget it. You must keep turning to it. From it, your power flows. Its power would be most evident when you take the light with you that you have known into the dark where you are led. Your sense of divine presence, all the glories that you have been blessed with, these will tell you all you need to know. I knew a great man who told of an evening he spent with a friend at the symphony. And at one point in the concert, the music swelling took this unexpected, powerful turn in a great chord. And his friend leaned over and said to him, "If that chord is true, everything's going to be all right." And we have heard the power of the music, and we have seen the power of the light. We know all will be well. Meanwhile, I must tell you that the glory of God isn't finished shining from human faces. When a person reaches out in selfless kindness to someone in need, if you pay close attention, you will see in their faces shining the glory of God. I see it everywhere now. You don't know how beautifully you shine when your love embodies the love of God. But in that moment, you are transfigured. Feel it or not, you are a creature of light. That is what happens when we look to the one who is our source and seek to reflect the love we have been given. We become the community of transfigured faces, giving endless praise and shining with the glory of God. Amen. Rich in love and invited forever to show it, we make our offerings as an act of our worship.
Come down on love, dear, on
God, take every gift that is ours to offer and lift it all into light for the world's sake and for our own and for your glory forever. Amen. It has been brought to our attention that in this season of serious flu contagion, the moment of the passing of the peace should be spoken of before we do it. We are a people given to embracing and to the shaking of each other's hands. If that's how you want it, have at it. But it has been requested, and I wholeheartedly agree, for the sake of those who are concerned, and rightly so, that those who wish and those who see others may wish, let go with simply acknowledgement of love and welcome by gesture, by wave, by gesture. Most important, let us speak the good news to each other, dear friends. The peace of Christ be with you.